This is Guildcast, episode 26 for April 29th, 2006. Once again, mesmerized, I find myself trapped in your reflection. Now I'm then, mesmerized. Hey everyone, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean. And like I mentioned in last week's episode, I plan on dedicating one show per profession, spread out over the next few months. And I know that with factions being released this weekend, you're probably expecting me to do the Assassin or the Ritualist, but I understand that a good number of players either haven't gotten factions yet, or simply won't plan to for a while, or maybe even at all. So for this show, I'm going to discuss the ins and outs of the Mesmer. I'll discuss the Mesmer's attributes in detail, and also put up some links in the show notes to some handy resources for Mesmer skills and armor picks. Of course, first I'll talk about some of my experiences with factions so far, but the primary theme is for the Mesmer. First, though, I wanted to mention all the news that's happened in the last week. As you may have noticed, there's two new short videos included with this episode. One is from Lady Sinea in conjunction with the Mesmer topic, and it's her Mesmer being ascended and fighting the doppelganger. I know I mentioned way back on my Ascension show that it's difficult to beat the doppelganger with a Mesmer, but she certainly proved me wrong there. And then the second video is just a little short tribute I did to the start of factions and its new characters, one in particular. We had another trivia contest last Sunday night in the Ice Tooth Cave, and it was our biggest one yet. The turnout was excellent, and it was overall a fun time, I'd say. Although, it did get rather crazy for me, and confusing at times, but I think everyone else had fun as well. I know a few people took some photos that I'll be posting in the photo gallery, and I believe some people even took some video of the event. So, congratulations goes out to the winners, Hugo Bye Bye, Rihanna Llewellyn, and Eamon Christos. Also, I had a Name That Place contest in the forums this last week, and our old friend the Shadowed Blade has won that one, with second place going to Chaos. The bonus pick was actually not identified by anyone. It was from the Zacian Elite, and I guess no one recognized that. I plan on doing a lot more of these Name That Place contests throughout the week at random times, even in between the regular contests, so keep your eyes open for those, and register for the forums if you haven't already, so you can have your chance at playing one of these contests. Now, there's been a ton of updates this week, not only relating to factions, of course, but also there's been a lot of skill balance they always talk about, but this time it's affected everything from armor, weapons, skills, the user interface, PvP, just everything. Way too much for me to possibly read on the show without, you know, making you fall asleep. So if you are interested in learning more about all of the updates with greater detail, you can check out the Guild Wars updates page at www.guildwars.com/support/game updates, or you can just follow the link from the main guildwars.com website. Now let me explain a little bit about the premise of factions, or at least from what I gather about it, for those of you who didn't buy it yet, or possibly for those of you who have played it but don't really get it. If you create a new Canthan character, you start out on an island, which is kind of the pre-searing that we're used to as a training period. The basic premise of this is your character must find the source of a great plague that has afflicted some of the island. There are a few missions and a ton of quests to do to get you used to the area and the play style of the new chapter. Now, if you choose to bring your Prophecies characters over to Cantha instead, you do so by taking a quest in Lion's Arch called Menlo's Request. That will bring you over to a different part of Cantha than from where the beginning Canthan characters start out. You're basically following Menlo around the map, trying to get him to his old teacher, Master Togo. There was also a nice little event on the Head Start called the Day of the Tengu, where you collect 250 Naga Fangs, and when the Emperor arrives, which is every 3 hours, he gives you a Tengu mask, in the same spirit of the pumpkin heads or the Santa hats or the Horns of Grenth from previous events. Okay. Now, down to the nitty-gritty, my opinions on what's what so far in factions. Overall, I really liked factions a lot. It's a lot to take in so far, But let me just list a few things first, a few of my favorite things. As always, the scenery, the animation, basically all the visuals are incredible, and they blow away any other game out there, in my opinion. I also love the titles. It's an excellent equivalent to the rank emotes for PvP, and I just hope they can plan on expanding the title categories more and more as time goes on. I was extremely happy when they announced last week that they would go ahead and allow the two extra slots to be available during the Head Start event. So I made three new characters this weekend over my two accounts, and I made them on the Head Start day. Now this is something that I had been waiting for seems like forever, so I had a lot of fun with that. Okay, now on to some of the things I didn't like. For one, those pop-up conversation windows. Wow. Those are so annoying, especially when they pop up and you're in the middle of a battle, and they wouldn't even be that bad if the henchies just wouldn't talk so much. I mean, it's not a bad thing, really. The henchies, if you watch them when they're in battle or when they're just standing around with each other, they actually have some pretty funny lines. But for them to pop up in the middle of the screen while you're trying to fight, no, I could do without that. Another thing that wasn't exactly horrible, but it kind of bugged me, was the narrow passageways in some of the cities. It really messed up my camera angle, and it made seeing where I was going or who I was attacking quite difficult. But maybe it's something I can learn to work with eventually. Now on to the main topic of the day. Mesmers are experts in indirect damage and subtle magic. They're based off of a performer or sleight-of-hand magician. They're best suited in preventing their opponent from achieving their goals, whether that be to heal, cast spells, or attack. In order to do this, they make use of a multitude of spells, hexes, and enchantments. Their attributes reflect this as well, and I'll touch on each one of them and explain them in greater detail a little bit later. Fast casting is a mesmer's primary attribute, so it can only be used by a primary mesmer. Illusion skills makes the opponent suffer terrible hallucinations that lower their resolve. Domination skills alter some aspect of the opponent, making them receive damage as a consequence of carrying out a common action, such as attacking or casting a spell. Inspiration skills allows the mesmer to steal energy from their opponents, preventing spellcasting professions from being as effective. The primary mesmer's base armor provides low protection, plus 10 energy, and plus 2 energy recovery. A starting primary mesmer can expect to have 30 maximum energy and 4 energy recovery. Now, in my opinion, mesmers are the sleepers of the game, meaning that they might look a little wimpy, but they can add a tremendous advantage to your party, especially in the later stages of the game. Many newer players don't realize the effects that a mesmer can have on their enemies, making them not really as desirable in parties early on in the game. If you've ever played a primary mesmer, then you know how true that is. First, I'll go over each of the mesmer's attributes in greater detail. Fast casting reduces the amount of time required for casting spells. There's actually a mathematical formula for it, but since I went to art school, the math side of my brain doesn't really work that well. So I'll just talk about the more aesthetic aspects of it. Investing in fast casting is wise, since many mesmer skills require that you place a hex at a critical moment. For example, casting backfire just before an enemy casts a spell. Having the ability to cast backfire in less than 2 seconds, when it would usually take 3, is an extraordinary advantage. A skill like Cry of Frustration would cast almost instantly. Fast casting also enables the mesmer to cast more spells. It depends on available energy, casting time, and recharge time, but in general, a mesmer can cast 4 spells while any other profession casts 3. Alternatively, the save time can be used for other purposes, such as moving or regular attacking. Something very important to take note of is that fast casting only benefits spells. There is no change to the casting time for signets, nature rituals, traps, preparations, attacks, glyphs, or any other unclassified skill. This is a common misunderstanding among newer players. Now on to my favorite of the mesmer attributes, domination magic. Guild Wars describes domination magic as having no inherent effect. Many mesmer skills, especially spells which disrupt spellcasting and deal direct damage, become more effective with higher domination magic. This attribute is the reason that spellcasters fear and loathe mesmers. It is linked to a large number of skills that disrupt the target's actions while dealing damage. One of the most popular of these is Power Spike, which deals a large amount of damage if the target foe is casting a spell. This skill has the dual purpose of dealing damage quickly and interrupting the spell. Domination Magic is also focused on punishing their foes for taking certain actions. Empathy deals damage every time the foe attacks. Shatter Enchantment deals damage when a foe has an enchantment active. Guilt steals energy if the target casts an offensive spell. Shame steals energy if the target casts a defensive spell. Backfire deals a huge amount of damage if the target casts a spell at all. A mesmer can also punish their opponents for doing nothing at all by using Wastrel's Worry, which requires them to use a skill if they don't want to take damage. The third use of Domination Magic is Energy Denial. Many of the skills linked to this attribute remove energy from the target. Signet of Weariness removes energy from all foes in an area. These skills make a good combination with Mind Rack, which deals damage if the target's energy ever reaches zero. Domination Magic can be the most important attribute for a mesmer, with more damaging skills than Illusion Magic and Inspiration Magic combined. When combined with Inspiration Magic for healing skills and Illusion Magic for the various effects it plays on foes, the mesmer can be a deadly weapon indeed. Next is Illusion Magic. Guild Wars describes it as having no inherent effect. Many mesmer skills, especially spells which deceive your foes and hinder their movement and attacks, become more effective with higher illusion magic. Illusion magic is a mixed batch of skills, many with very odd effects. This makes it difficult to give a blanket description for the general effects that all illusion skills provide. However, illusion magic skills generally focus on either layering effects on foes to deal medium amounts of damage, as well as hinder their abilities, or creating illusions to protect and heal the caster. This layering of effects is most effective when used on melee attackers. For example, a combination of Ethereal Burden to slow down foes and Soothing Images to prevent warriors from gaining adrenaline makes it extremely difficult for any melee attacker to hurt you at all. Meanwhile, repeated uses of Phantom Pain, which reduces maximum health, Conjure Phantasm for health degeneration, and Clumsiness, which damages foes if they attack, can whittle down their health while they remain helpless. The second focus of illusion magic is aiding the caster. A number of skills create illusions that either trick your foe to your own benefit or provide some sort of benefit to you. Distortion makes it even more difficult for melee attackers to hurt you, and Illusion of Haste can provide you with the speed you need to escape. Illusion of Weakness, while appearing useless at first glance, is in fact a fantastic healing spell. Simply activate it, heal yourself through other means, perhaps Ethereal Feast, then relax knowing that as soon as your health dips below the danger point, you will be healed by a large amount. Choosing to focus on illusion skills from the start may prove difficult, partially because many illusion skills are elite skills, and are therefore difficult to acquire and impossible to use in tandem. Consider starting a mesmer with a focus in domination magic, then switching over to illusion magic once you have collected the skills and equipment you need for your build. Illusion magic can be too strange for newcomers to the game to fully appreciate its myriad of effects, but in the hands of an experienced player, it can be a crippling and powerful tool, especially against melee attackers. Now on to inspiration magic. It's described as having no inherent effect. Many mesmer skills, especially spells which generate energy and reduce damage, become more effective with higher inspiration magic. Inspiration magic is a very important skill for mesmers. Whereas domination magic is focused on disrupting foes and dealing damage, inspiration magic is focused on disrupting foes while healing either the mesmer's health or energy, or simply protecting and healing the mesmer in various ways. A good example of the similarities and differences between domination and inspiration magic is the domination skill Shatter Enchantment and the inspiration skill Drain Enchantment. Shatter Enchantment removes an enchantment and deals damage to the target foe, whereas Drain Enchantment removes an enchantment from the target foe while restoring the caster's energy. Perhaps where inspiration magic shines is in gaining energy for the caster. An amazing 15 skills out of 25 help you gain energy in some way. Energy Drain and Energy Tap steal energy from your foes, providing the dual benefit of denying your foe energy while giving yourself more. drain enchantment, inspired enchantment, and inspired hex, remove hexes and enchantments, and give you energy. Power drain interrupts a spell and gives you energy, while spirit of failure gives you energy whenever your foe fails to strike in combat. Several mantras give you energy in addition to their myriad of effects. Finally, the skill Aether Lord gives your foe energy degeneration, which you receive as regeneration. An important chunk of inspiration magic skills are the mantras. These are stances, meaning you can only have one active at a time. However, they do not reduce your energy regeneration when active, and they last quite a long time. Some mantras provide protection from different things. An example is Mantra of Flame, which reduces damage dealt to you by fire attacks, and heals one energy whenever it does this. Another is Mantra of Concentration, which prevents you from being interrupted. The other type of mantras are those that increase the effectiveness of certain types of spells. For example, Mantra of Persistence increases the duration of illusion magic hexes. Inspiration magic is also singular in its mastery over signets. It has no fewer than 3 skills which cause signet rings to recharge more quickly or even instantly, as well as 3 very powerful signets for amplifying one's own power, such as Keystone Signet, disrupting an opponent, such as Signet of Humility, or both, which is Leech Signet. Many signets, be they the already powerful Mesmer signets, or others such as Monk or Necromancer signets, change from handy yet forgettable to devastating when properly augmented by a crafty inspiration user. Inspiration magic is also one of the best defenses a Mesmer can have, primary or secondary. Aether Feast is a quick-casting, quick-recharging self-heal, while physical resistance and elemental resistance add 40 armor to the respective areas, but cause you to lose 24 to 12 armor in the opposing areas, resulting in halved damage in the absence of other modifiers, a feat matched only by an extraordinarily high level of Doliac Signet or greatly surpassed by certain Earth Magic skills. In PvP, physical resistance is a wonderful option for a Monk Mesmer who is often beset by attacks from pesky warriors early on. While Domination Magic punishes foes for attempting to harm you, and Illusion Magic lessens their ability to do so, Inspiration is great for minimizing the damage once they actually get to you. Many skills in Inspiration Magic are extremely effective even with very few points put on them. Leech Signet, for example, is a nearly instant and free skill which can interrupt anything from a spell to an attack to another signet, which is useful even with 0 points in Inspiration. Inspired Hex and Inspired Enchantment are very nice hex and enchantment removal skills, which require very few points to break even energy-wise. Mantra of Concentration lasts long enough to prevent its single interrupt with hardly any points, and with only a bare handful of leftover points invested for channeling. It can be kept up indefinitely that way. Even if you cannot or do not wish to afford to place 10, 12, or more points in Inspiration Magic, that doesn't mean that its skills will prove to be useless for you. All in all, Inspiration Magic can be a very powerful attribute, but due to its lack of many skills that actually deal damage, you'll be forced to utilize other attributes. Inspiration Magic is best suited as a support attribute, keeping the Mesmer alive, while other attribute skills deal the damage. In a party setting, an Inspiration Mage can be focused on denying their foes energy with the energy stealing skills, along with Spirit Shackles, while your party members take out the helpless foes.
Hey all, this is Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the street. Lots has happened this week. Of course, there was the release of Factions and the Day of the Tengu, which I enjoyed. I jumped on the bandwagon selling Naga Fangs and had fun with that. But there were a lot of changes to the game in general as well. Like the new green markers on the map are a really nice way to be able to see how far you have to go for quests. I think that's a really nice feature and makes things a lot easier. And in my guild's new hall, my guild leader and one of the officers sprung for some of the new NPCs, which were really quite pricey, but they're very nice features to have. You can put all of the traders in your hall, so now I'm able to access storage and buy and sell from the merchant and things like that, all within the guild hall, which is kind of cool. You can get a Priest of Balthazar and other things which assist your PvP and such. So it's really nice to have access to all of this now. There were a bunch of skill changes. Most noteworthy is that Minion Masters now have a limit on how many minions they can have. And Varada's Sacrifice, the enchantment time is less and the recharge time is longer. So that's definitely going to have an impact on those guys. I don't play a Minion Master, but I think Sean does, so he'll probably be able to say more about what this is going to mean as far as being an MM is concerned. But for all of you Barrage Pet Rangers, Comfort Animal now no longer disables your skills when you res your pet, so that's nice. And there are a bunch of other skill changes too. There are new updates about armors and weapons, and I noticed just last night when I picked up a bow that had a Sundering mod on it that I'd never seen before, they raised Sundering up to 2020, and that looks like it's across the board on all weapons, not just bows. A couple of other updates. You know, there were some items that, if you carried them, it would draw all the aggro to your character, which was used a lot in farming Sorrow's Furnace with the gear or the keg, and in Fissure of Woe with the book. But now that doesn't do that anymore, and it doesn't hold aggro to your tank. From what I understand, it's because there are some ritualist skills that require the character to be carrying some kind of item, so it would be bad if all the aggro were automatically drawn straight to the ritualist because of that. So farming groups are probably going to be a little different. But, you know, we'll just do FOW the old-fashioned way and things like that, and people will just have to be smarter about how they play. I'll probably say more about this once I start farming these areas again in the upcoming weeks. I stopped by DWC a couple of days ago just to see what was going on, and I even saw some barrage pet groups forming there, so that could get interesting. Oh, and another thing. I was so upset about this. I had just been telling Sean that the little statues that you're supposed to kneel to, that you could do any emote you want and it would still work. Well, that's not true anymore. They fixed it. So, alas, I can no longer taunt grunts into coming out of hiding. I have to actually kneel like I'm supposed to. I was so bummed about that. So, anyway, everyone wants to know about factions. I, on one hand, I'm kind of sorry that I was whining before that I didn't see any storyline aspects yet at the time, but there is so much lore now to read up on and get acquainted with in Kanza that it's pretty overwhelming all at once, but I'm not complaining. I really like it. And the characters, the interaction and the conversations that they have are really funny. During one of the quests, I clicked on Sin, and she was saying something like, "I hope I don't meet up with any more of Menlo's little female friends, because sometimes I slip and I wouldn't want one of my spells to accidentally hit them." So the character interaction is great. Even in the noob training zone, the NPCs have their own little personalities. It was kind of hair-pulling and hand-wrenching going through that training, because to an experienced player, it's all old news, but I think it actually was pretty well done, and probably really helpful to new players. It went over a lot of the basic game mechanics, like how do you attack, how do you set your attributes, what's an aggro circle, and things like that. And it kind of got me thinking, what kind of questions did I have when I first started playing? And most of it you're able to pick up as you go along, but I remember when I was first making a character, I was trying to decide whether I was going to make a male or a female character, and I had to look it up and find out about this, because, you know, in some games, like, a male warrior might have more strength and less speed or something like that, or the female might have less strength but more dexterity. So I wanted to know this before I made my character, but then I found out that it doesn't even matter, and how tall you make your character doesn't make a difference either, so then it was just a matter of preference and aesthetics. So I was thinking about, you know, what kind of questions did I have when I first started playing. But for factions, I made an assassin, and he's only level 3 right now, and will probably be further along by the time you hear this, but I'm going to take it kind of slow and get a feel for everything. it's so easy to just ignore all the quest descriptions and stuff and just follow the green arrow, and I was doing that a lot, just clicking through all the dialogue and killing whatever showed up. But I was doing some monk quest, and I was supposed to use healing spells and keep this character alive, and I didn't select any healing spells. So instead of healing the guy, I instead just killed his opponent, no problem, and then he didn't take any damage, and I got the quest. But I saw that because of this, and I was going so fast, I was probably missing out on a lot by doing that. So I'm gonna try to move a little bit slower through this while I absorb everything. Now, this episode of Guildcast was scheduled to focus chiefly on a single character class, the Mesmer. And as with any of these classes, you can do so many different things with your character. With my Mesmer, one build that I like to use is kind of a basic shutdown build, and you just have to know what hexes to use on which enemies. So in this way, you kind of have to keep one step ahead of your opponents, but if you are, you can do some serious damage to them. But as I was thinking about it, there are so many things to talk about with just the one class, I didn't really know where to start, so I figured I'd just answer a question that pretty much everyone asks when the time comes, which is, how do I ascend my character? So I'd been inspired by the videos that the boys did last week, so I decided to make my own. It's a short video of me ascending my Mesmer, and it's the first installment of what I hope will be a series of videos showing how to ascend each character class, or at least how I did it, which I'm thinking will probably be pretty good methods, because since I'm using the free version of Fraps, I had to make sure that the battle was less than 30 seconds long so I could record it all. But the battle length wasn't even the hardest part about making the video. In order to get all the footage that I wanted, I had to do the battle over and over so I could record the cutscenes in segments, which got a little bit repetitive, but it was still fun. And just doing this made me really want to start playing my Mesmer again, but my Elementalist and my Mez are both on my second account, and I only bought one copy of Factions, so those two characters are not going to have access to any of the new skills that I was kind of looking forward to, but there's still plenty of more that I haven't explored with those characters yet with just the Prophecies content, so I'll be doing more of that. But the way that I ascended my Mesmer is I only used two skills, Backfire and Empathy, and I just dumped all of my points into Domination and Fast Casting because I didn't need any of the other attributes. And then the rest of the skill slots, I just put a bunch of skills that I figured the mirror could use and try to cast on me, but wouldn't really do any harm to me. So it doesn't really matter what you use for those, just something that's not gonna hurt you particularly. So then, when I went into the battle, I cast Backfire and Empathy right away. And the mirror wasted time casting Clumsiness, and then Empathy and Backfire, but by that time I was already done with my casting, and I wasn't attacking with my staff anyway, so Empathy did nothing to me. And because my Backfire hex on the mirror was already up, it just took its own hit points down to like half by casting on me. Then it started hitting me with its bow, and it kept hurting itself all the while due to Empathy being on it. And then when Backfire had worn off of me, I cast Empathy and Backfire again, and the mirror tried to cast some more on me, it tried to hit me with its bow, and then it died, killing itself, which is quite satisfying. So hopefully this video ends up in the feed, and if not for some reason, I'll make sure that there's a link somewhere to it on guildcast.com. And it's got some Podsafe music on it, which had lyrics which were quite apropos to the theme of the mirror battle. Plus, you should see it, because it definitely has what I think is the sexiest of my characters, so you have to check it out. I hope you guys get to see it, and I'm sure we'll all have plenty to talk about next week once we've all been playing Factions a bit more. So until next time, this has been Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the streets.
In this Skills and Builds segment, I'm going to talk about one of the most popular Mesmer Hex spells for throughout the entire game, and that's Empathy. It's described as, for 8 to 18 seconds, whenever target foe attacks, that foe takes 10 to 26 damage. This domination spell has an energy cost of 10, activation time of 2 seconds, and a recharge time of 10 seconds. It's one of the very first Mesmer skills you get in the game. obtained from the quest Mesmer's Test in pre-searing. Also, later on in the game, if you change your secondary to Mesmer in the Crystal Desert with the Mesmer's Path quest, you'll get Empathy also. So basically, you should never really have to buy this spell, but if for some strange reason you do, you can buy it from Sir Bertrand in Ascalon City or Dak in Emberlight Camp. Empathy is one of the Mesmer's most valuable skills. Enemy warriors attacking allies will quickly find themselves causing more damage to themselves than to their target. Human enemies will usually cease attacking if they have empathy cast on them, while PvE mobs will happily cause massive damage to themselves because of the way that the AI is set up. Although it can be used on enemies of every profession, this skill is most useful against enemy warriors and rangers, since these professions tend to attack more quickly, which in turn means that they will be damaging themselves more quickly. This skill has a faster cast time and recharge rate than its sister skill, Backfire. Its duration varies with domination magic, so with domination 5 or higher, it can be kept up constantly on a target. A strategy for PvP use involves casting Backfire on the enemy monk, then empathy on the primary target of the moment. Most often that primary target won't notice and will quickly cause large amounts of damage. And should the monk decide to be valiant and heal despite Backfire, the massive damage penalty will make him an easy target. This skill triggers not only when the target attacks normally, but also when they use an attack skill. Because empathy triggers on each attack, and not on each successful hit, it can be used with Spirit of Failure to doubly punish would-be attackers. This will either net you a lot of damage and energy, or an opponent who is unwilling to fight. And both scenarios are great for your party. So that'll do it for this episode. The next episode will be on the topic of the Underworld, and I'll also talk a little bit more on my adventures in Cantha. I may have another Name That Place contest in the forums this week featuring only Canton locations to make it extra difficult, so look for that in the next day or so. And then next weekend, I'll be having another hide-and-seek contest in the game, and it will be in Tyria, not in Cantha, though, so I won't be doing a Canton contest for a while still to give people a chance to get factions first, but this next one will be on Saturday, May 6th at 10 p.m. Eastern. The rules will be the same, where basically I'll be hiding in an international district somewhere in Tyria, and the first person to find me wins. One new thing I'll be doing, though, with this contest, is I'll be posting a short riddle on the forums a few hours before the actual contest, with a hint as to where I might be. This will hopefully make it a little more interesting and involve the possibility for someone to solve the riddle and find me quicker than just warping around aimlessly. I may also announce this one on the more popular forums as well, like I did with the last trivia contest. That seemed to work out well. And finally, I'm going to leave you today with a couple ironic voicemails I just got yesterday, actually, after I recorded most of the show, so I thought I'd tag them on to the end here for good measure. And as always, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.
Hi, Sean. This is Legolas Elven King. And I noticed that you guys keep neglecting the Mesmers. So why don't you give us a little love, too. All right, thanks, guys. Love the show. Bye.
Hey, Sean, the Tomb Sealer here, calling from Athens, Georgia. I just wanted to make a suggestion that you should make, a little later, you should make a show all about the assassin and the ritualist and all the new skills and everything. Love the show. Bye.